And do not forget to do good, and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Hebrews 13:16. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and let's talk about Hebrews. Not the people, the letter, the book, the epistle of someone to the Hebrews, telling them, hey, we know that this Jesus guy wasn't like the warrior king you were promised, but trust us, he's the real deal. Just hold on for a little while longer. Everything will be okay. We're not really talking about the body of Hebrews. It's a Pauline epistle that was not written by Paul. Like, people have been saying this isn't actually a letter of Paul since like the second century. Like, no one has ever really thought this was a Pauline letter. Although some consider it probably one of the best written books in the entire Bible, just from a literature perspective, like the language used. And that's one of the reasons they're like, this was not Paul. This person did not write at all like Paul. One of the more interesting suggestions as to who the author might be is two people I've never heard of. And trust me, I'm going to totally mispronounce this. I believe it's just Priscilla and Aquila, which is hilarious because if you're a married couple and your names rhyme, you like automatically get about 20 extra bonus points. Priscilla and Aquila were this first century couple. They were Christian missionaries, and they're listed among the disciples, and they get some credit for having written the letter to the Hebrews. One of the reasons, though, people thought it was Paul is because a lot of mention is made of Timothy, who we brought up in a previous episode, who was like a really, really close friend of Paul. And because Timothy is mentioned affectionately in this letter, people just assume that that was a writing, that was one of Paul's writings. But it's most likely someone writing in the style of Paul. There's a term for that. I don't remember what it's called. A forgery, maybe. But it's intended to reassure, but I mean, part of the letter is intended to reassure people who, I guess, historically are referred to as Jewish Christians. It was kind of this like interim period when like people still considered themselves to be Jewish, but they were also followers of Jesus. And there was a lot of arguing going on about whether or not that meant they had to abandon like Jewish law, including like the Ten Commandments, like things like that. Like he says he's the New Testament and he's the new, you know, all the commandments are now out the window. Like the only thing you have to worry about is loving your neighbor, I guess. So do we need to like obey all the... So there was a lot of arguing and talking going on. There was the concept of an identity as just Christian was not really fully formed in the human mind at that point. There was a lot going on with different sects and different, you know, branchings off thereof. And this was trying to kind of trying to keep people on the up and up, keep them on the straight and narrow, keep them from those branches, those weird, like the mystery religions and things like that, that were spinning off from this new belief, this new person that they're all choosing to follow. And I mean, that's what the letters of Paul, that's those letters, the epistles, that's a lot of what they do, is they're just trying to give guidance to different groups of people out there who belong to this new church, but who just need a little help along the way. And the whole body of this letter is not what we are talking about, though. The actual part we're talking about is the part that says, don't forget to do good and to share with others. And that's actually the end of the letter. Like the fare thee well, the salutation, like the outgoing at the end of the day, though, be cool people. Like, that's basically just like, be excellent to each other. That's the ending of this. He's like, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. I'm not going to go into that. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? One of our listeners asked which version, which translation I'm using. I'm using the New International Version because that's the one Mike uses in the books. And New International is a little less flowery, a little less poetical, but it's, you know, a lot more straightforward in language. A lot of good research has gone into the NIV. So I put stock in that. But don't worry, I read various translations in all the footnotes because I'm trying to get a good handle on this. But this quote in chapter 13 is 13:16, and right before that he says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." So it is what it is. It's one of the rare quotes that gets pulled out that literally is just like, yeah, do good things and share your stuff. Like that's the long and short of it. It is a non-controversial statement. Be nice, share what you got. Any questions? But does that form the crux of this week's book? And what is this week's book? And who am I? And what is going on? Well, I am Phil Gonzalez, and this week's book on Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast, is the Berenstain Bears Gifts of the Spirit Sharing from 2001. Now, we are two books now into the Gifts of the Spirit series. Last week we did Caring. This week we did Sharing. Next week, I don't know what it's going to be. Staring, seafaring, who can say? I hope it rhymes. Otherwise, I'm going to end up looking like a total know-nothing. Sharing. So this is a book about sharing. And I just knocked my headphones like off my desk. What stands out about this book, though, unlike the previous book, which is all about the birth of a newborn baby and then, you know, our responsibility as a society to care for this child and to provide it room to develop into the person that they are going to be, this is literally just a book about sharing your stuff. This could have been a Care Bears book. What makes this really interesting, though, is that unlike the previous book, this book's got a little more of that Berenstain snark to it. A little bit of the irony, it's a little tongue-in-cheek at the end. It's got a goof, it's a little more self-aware. It's having a little more fun than the last book. Not that I didn't like the last book. Last book is plenty fun. But this is Gifts of the Spirit Sharing. The cover of the book is brother and sister and honey. Brother is kneeling down on the ground, holding out a popsicle that a cat is licking. And they all look pretty thrilled that the cat's licking brother's popsicle. Not an ideal thing for a cat to be doing, and not an ideal situation for a popsicle to end up in. I wonder if it has anything to do with the plot. Let's dive in and find out. So in the past, we've discovered that brother and sister bear frequently do odd jobs around Farmer Ben's farm for money in exchange for goods and services. He gives them cash. They give him the sweat off their backs. We read a whole book about it where he gave them not money, but like they basically became sharecroppers for Farmer Ben, where he gave them like you can have a plot of land and all you got to do is sell what you grow. And I'm like, that, I guess. So whether or not they actually got paid depends entirely on like the vagaries of the market. But they seem to have worked something else out because now he's just paying them. And the book starts off seeming like it's going to be about being smart with your money, because it says like no sooner had they gotten the money than it was gone out of their pockets. But they go to the general store, which I've never seen the inside of before. This is not a supermarket. This is a old-fashioned general store with like a counter and a shopkeep, and like all the merch is behind the counter, and there's like a few barrels of like stuff, like there's apples and like just a few odds. It's weird. We have not seen something this rustic in Bear Country in a long time. So Sister Bear wants to get a new pencil box with a pony on it. Honey wants a chewy honey nut candy bar. And she says out loud, remember, last book, she says she's not a baby anymore. This book, the first thing out of Honey's mouth is, oh boy, a chewy honey nut candy bar. So full statement, full sentence, subject and a predicate, action verb. I mean, I guess there isn't. It's just a subject, but the predicate is implied. I am very excited to have found this chewy honey nut candy bar. I guess it's a direct object with an adverb or adjective. A few adjectives. Oh boy, I am so happy to have found a chewy honey nut candy bar. Yeah, it's the direct object. And then brother's like, brother being brother, remember, brother's not a decision maker. He likes to weigh his options. We see him standing off to the side with his finger on his mouth, looking up in the sky, asking, I don't know who, God in heaven? Maybe the late, great Milton Berle? Who knows? What should he get? He doesn't know. He can't make up his mind. He wants just the right thing. He wants just the right thing so bad that he ends up laying down outside with his cat, Gracie, just daydreaming about it, I guess. And as he's laying there, daydreaming, the fireflies are out. He hears a jingle and a jingle, a blink and a blink, a jingle and a jingle, and a blinkity blink. And is he dreaming? No, he sits up and it's the neighborhood ice cream truck. Now, the fireflies are, I don't know why the ice cream truck is out this late. It seems not ideal. Like, this is like dinner. I mean, it's late. It's dark out. I don't know. Brother is just outside. It's a weird situation to find him in. He's alone. He's laying out in the lawn outside in the dark. There's fireflies all around him, and then the ice cream truck pulls up. Like, to me, this is the beginning of a horror story. That's how that begins. I believe that's the plot to The Black Phone. I think that's how it begins. But he rushes to his bed, pulls his money out from under his mattress. Now, brother is the only one who has money left because honey bought the candy bar and sister bought a pencil box, and brother doesn't want them to see that he still has cash. Sneaks out his cash, runs outside. It says that he'd earned that money himself working for Farmer Ben. He thought he deserved at least one ice pop all to himself. So he runs out. He hides behind the mailbox. He flags down the ice cream van. The ice cream bear says, "What'll it be, brother?" So I guess he knows him. And brother says, "One fruit ice pop, please." And he holds out his money. And he's happy. He has a fruit pop. There it is. And he's about to eat it when his sisters come running up, demanding licks of the pop. And you have a shot of brother clutching his fruit pop with this sort of like look on his face. The other cubs are running up, demanding licks. And brother says, "Wait a minute. If you two wanted an ice pop, you should have saved your money instead of spending it." And the sister and honey are upset. They think that brother should share his treat. And so they start grabbing for it, and brother is desperately trying to keep it out of their reach. He's holding it way up high. Suddenly, the ice cream, or whatever, it's not ice cream, it's like frozen fruit, whatever, falls off the stick, hits the ground, and Gracie the cat starts lapping it up. Brother gets furious, starts yelling at his sisters, "It's all your fault. You shouldn't have reached for it. It's all your fault," said sister and honey. "You should have shared." And just Gracie the cat is just eating up the pop. Honey looks really upset, by the way. Like, I think honey was just following sister's lead. Like, she's still young. Sister's like, "Let's go get that pop." And honey's like, "Great." Like, she doesn't know any better. And all of a sudden, she's getting yelled at by her older brother. And then her sister's yelling. It's a mess. But then, a little word of wisdom. This ice cream bear, whom we've never met, drops a little truth bomb on them by quoting a Bible verse that doesn't really have anything to do with what they're talking about. He says, "Now cubs, share and share alike." That's not the Bible verse. And they look at him, they're like, it says, the cubs looked at him in surprise, which is weird because I'm like, he didn't say anything shocking. He knows them by name. Like, I can see any adult just being like, "You guys should share." But he says, "You know what the Bible says? If anyone would take your coat, let him have your cloak as well." And then he tips his cap and drives off. And this is my favorite line. It says, the cubs weren't used to ice cream bears quoting the Bible at them. It made them think. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we're right at the end anyway. And brother says, "Maybe I should have shared with you." And sister's like, "Well, yeah, you did end up sharing. You shared with Gracie." And then they all laugh. And the last shot is of Gracie lapping up the ice cream. And the bears, it looks like they're down on their hands. They're down on their knees. Sister and honey have their arms thrown up at the air. Brother's busting a gut laughing. But sister and honey look like they're praying to the cat. We're worshiping Bastet now. Like, this is that we've completely gone away from the bear country's Christianity. We've decided that this cat is our new god. I completely understand that is not the intention of Mr. Mike Berenstain, but it's a funny drawing at the end. Now, I want to back up, though, because the quote from the ice cream bear, "If anyone would take your coat, let him have your cloak as well," is such a wild thing to quote at this point, because that contextually doesn't really have anything to do with sharing. The New International Version translation is, and if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. And that is from Matthew 5:40, and it is a hotly debated quote. You may know it as, "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Some versions say tunic. But the gist of it is it's part of Jesus's it's in the Gospel of Matthew, part of the Sermon on the Mount, and it is a refutation, or not a refutation, it's kind of like the opposite of the eye for an eye law, like the ancient commandment from the book of Exodus, take an eye for an eye. If someone takes out your eye in a fight or whatever, you have to take one of their eyes, like that kind of thing. And what Jesus is basically saying is up for debate. Like, it's a hotly debated topic of what really he's implying here. If someone sues you for your cloak or your coat, let him have your cloak also. And it comes right after, if someone slaps you in the cheek, turn the other cheek. It's the turn the other cheek part. So it's basically, if someone hits you in the face, present your other cheek to him. If someone sues you for the coat off your back, give him your cloak. So there's a lot of back and forth. Some people say that it's intended to be like, take the higher ground. Like, not only don't fight back, not only don't take it out on your enemy, but allow your enemy, like, to show your enemy that you are actually a bigger person than them by allowing them, doing them one better. And that is like as they say, the antithesis of eye for an eye. Instead of doing harm to them, actually return cruelty with kindness. Return hostility with love. It looks like St. Augustine believed that it was actually referring to not allowing followers of Jesus to participate in lawsuits. Basically, if someone's trying to sue you, it means just go ahead and give up your stuff because you're not supposed to get involved in like the legal business like this. One interesting commentary on it that I found kind of fascinating was that it said that if the readers originally would have understood that in the turn the other cheek part of the quote, if you get slapped in the face, turn the other cheek. Apparently a slap on the cheek was considered at the time a low form of insult. And if you were slapped, you would get paid in restitution in cash. And also you would get paid for, like, legally you were owed money if someone shouted at you, if someone spit at you, and especially if someone hit you across the face. So someone reading this passage or hearing Jesus say, if someone slaps you, turn the other cheek, is a reflection of not only are they not going to give you money, you're going to let them, you know, you're going to present yourself as someone who can take the high road. So there's a lot going into this quote. What it doesn't mean, though, is you should share your stuff. Like, it literally doesn't have anything to do with sharing a popsicle. Like, it's not even the same. It's not really. I guess what he's saying is, like, if sister demands a lick of your popsicle, give her the whole thing, is what the ice cream man's trying to say. But that's a weird twisting of the intention of this quote. The intention isn't just give away your stuff. I mean, clearly Jesus thought you should give away your stuff, but that's not the point of the context of this. Isn't just get. It's a weird quote for the ice cream man to throw in there. That's because that's not sharing. That's just giving. I don't know. It muddies the waters for me at the end of this. And then the whole thing ends with a joke with brother and sister just being like, oh, that's weird. The ice cream man was quoting the Bible at us. Ah, the cat's eating the ice cream. La, 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 la. I mean, they seem to have learned their lesson at the end. You know, brother's like, ah, I could have given my sister a lick of my ice cream, and now no one has anything. That seems to be more the lesson here is like, ah, you held out, you fought over something, and now no one gets anything. Like, share and share alike. But also, like, we've read the Berenstain Bears, The Trouble with Money before. We know that the Berenstain Bears also teach, you know, brother did the right thing originally. Like, he sat on his money and waited until there was something he really wanted. Now, we don't know if sister and honey still think fondly of their pencil case and their Bitto honey or whatever it was that honey got, whatever candy bar that was. We don't know how that ended up. If they regretted not having their cash later on that day, but brother had waited and finally got something he liked, that's very much The Trouble with Money. But we're learning a different lesson here. And one thing The Trouble with Money did not cover, and again, that was different authors, that was a different era, was The Trouble with Money set it up as you get money, and if you don't save it and you don't spend it on good things, you're going to regret it because you're going to have blown all your money. What this is saying, and I think this is more in line with kind of the current Berenstain Bears, which is I don't think that The Trouble with Money would exist in modern Berenstain Bears, or not the way it's written, because the trouble with money, honestly, is that it exists. The trouble with money is that we rely so much on, and so much of our decision-making has to be by dint of the fact that everything is controlled by money, our decision-making has to be based on money. That's the trouble with money. And of course, the Bible would go so far as to say that love of it is the root of something. I don't remember what it's the root of. It's the root of something important. But it's interesting that this book, as Matthew 5:40 stands as the antithesis of eye for an eye, the Berenstain Bears' gifts of the Spirit sharing stands as the antithesis of the Berenstain Bears and the trouble with money. It is a sequel to it, or it acts in concert with it. It's a later commentary on the trouble with money. The trouble with money being that brothers' thoughts go to, here is my sister, here is my family, here is something that they have asked for. I will not give it to them, not because I don't want to share, but because I am equating their request with a dollar amount. I've now put a dollar amount on the happiness of my siblings. And you can say, well, it's only fair because you saved that money and it's your money and you can do whatever you want with it. But you are also spiritually now trading the happiness of others for a set amount of money. There's a currency exchange for spreading happiness, for sharing in joy. And that's the trouble with money as far as these books are concerned now. Brothers withholding a request from his siblings who approached him in good spirits and with joy. I have to say, they're not demanding, they're not like, hey, give us a lick of that. No, they're like, ice cream. Oh, we'd love a lick. Like, it's that they approach him with good intentions, with good spirits. I should add that. Like, this is not, they are not being unreasonable. They are asking for a taste of his ice cream. And brother has now applied has applied capital to the exchange of money for this good. Has now bled into the exchange of the taste of the ice cream in for his siblings' happy. I don't know. I keep saying the same thing over and over again, but I'm putting this together that we're dealing with something much deeper here. The gift of the Spirit, the sharing, the gift of the Spirit as I see it here, is at the heart of what the quote at the beginning says, which is just share with others. Like, don't stop and think about what they owe you or what kind of like abstract chunk of change this is taking out of your pocket. That doesn't matter anymore. In fact, that's a logical fallacy. Like, if you give away a piece of thing you own, you're not giving away the money you spent on it. Like, the value of that item is only what you value that item as. Like, if you buy a $100, I want something for $100, I don't know, a $100 vase, it's the only thing I can think of. And then someone's like, I love that vase of yours. Could I have it in my house for a while? Like, maybe they don't even want it forever. Maybe they want, I don't know. I don't know why someone's borrowing a vase. They're like, I don't have my vases all disappeared. Can I borrow your nice vase? I'm having a party. And you're like, oof, I spent $100 on this vase. If I give it to them, that's like I'm giving them $100. It's not, though, because you're just giving them that. Like, that vase, once the money exchange, once the vase is in your hands, it's only worth as much as it's worth to you. How much is it worth compared to this good friend of yours' happiness? There's a potential for breakage, but whether or not that vase breaks, you are no more out $100. Like, you have already given the money away. Like, the money is gone. If the vase breaks, you've not lost anything else except that vase, which has no value other than what you value. I don't know. I'm rambling now. I'm fascinated by the Gifts of the Spirit series. They are simple but focused. They are breezy but laser-like in their point. So that's the Berenstain Bears' Gifts of the Spirit sharing. It really is about sharing. But like deep down sharing, like what's the point of sharing? I know last time I went on a long tear about what it even means to be caring, but I think we know what it means to share. I mean, to me, sharing is like selflessly allowing others access to things that theoretically belong to you. Or, you know, like if you're sharing a story, you are expending the energy to make sure other people can come in possession of that knowledge. Like sharing, it is a gift of the spirit to share. I mean, it says it right here, share with others. Like that's you don't need a messiah to come and tell you that. Just share with others. It's no skin off your teeth. If your back or hand, I don't know. I don't remember what the phrase is. It doesn't hurt. Share with others. That's what the bears would do. Just share, no matter who they are. If you give a mouse a cookie, it's gonna want to pick a pancake or something. I'm just rambling now. But so that's gifts to the spirit. Sharing, 2001. Next up, I believe it's gifts to the spirit love. I think it's the hefty one. It's a hard one. It's a tough one. It's a big one. Gifts to the spirit love. That's why I was happy to do sharing, because it's about a cat eating ice cream. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for joining me. You can find me on Twitter at BStainBearCast. You can find me on Facebook at Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain BearCast. You can find me on YouTube, where every once in a while I post videos from some of my podcasts. That's Phil Gonzalez. Just go to YouTube, search Phil Gonzalez. Eventually you'll see like a little cartoon image of me. It says, it's Phil. So that's my little icon. It's Phil. So if you see that, that's me. And there's just a few clips and stuff from other pod. If you're interested in testing out one of my other shows, there's clips from other shows on there. Like they're like 1 minute long if you want to hear us just yam. So yeah, check out Pizza Toast, Recovering the Hunger Games. And It's Del Toro Time's been on a bit of a hiatus, an involuntary hiatus. We just haven't, Willow's busy. We are going to be getting that back up and going. So if you subscribe to that show or you keep dipping in going, what are they going to post? The yellow wallpaper? We're getting to it. But thank you so much for joining me on this trip through Bear Country. We'll be back with more Gifts of the Spirit. I'm Phil Gonzalez. I already told you that. And I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.